couple years ago, I got in a good habit of riding my bicycle and exercising. And it got too hot to ride, and I quit and got lazy. But I got to get back after it. One day I decided to do a 50-mile ride in one day. What I did on that 50-mile ride, I started in Rockmart. There at, I forget the name of the trailhead there in Rockmart on the Silver Comet Trail. You can be turning your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I made one mistake in my planning for my 50-mile ride. To ride a bicycle 50 miles, you don't just jump on a bicycle and go. Especially when you're in your 40s. I had kind of built up to that. It wasn't like I just, that was the first time I rode. But that morning in my planning, I didn't plan well. I have two water bottle racks on my bicycle. I had one filled with water, and I had one with Gatorade. By the time I reached the Silver Comet Trail there at, I forget the name of it, Sister Joanne over there where Mark and Sharon live, by the old Happy Valley. By the time I've got there, I was out of my energy bars, and I was out of the water and the Gatorade. And I felt in my body that I'd gone as far as I could go. Sometimes when you feel like you've gone as far as you can go, that's your brain telling you, you need something. But even then, there's something left in storage. And here's what I thought, if I can get to Hiram, if I can get to Hiram, I can get me a Gatorade. Something inside my body was crying for more than water. It was crying for electrolytes. It was crying for sugar. It was crying for some carbohydrates. And I pushed on and I made it to Hiram. And I got off my bicycle and I got a Gatorade and a candy bar. And I'm telling you, nothing ever felt so good in my life. I sat there and drank that Gatorade and let it run out the corners of my mouth. And I ate that candy bar and boy, I just relished in that thing. And I was thirsty for something. But I had to push on and get to the place where I could get what I needed. And then my world came to an end. It dawned on me. My truck's in Rockmart. And I'm in Hiram. I got 25 miles. So I went back in that store. Got me two more Gatorades and two more candy bars. And I made it back. Simply to say, I made it because I got what I needed. And sometimes in church, we'll sit there and know we need something. We need that drink of living water. And we'll let the devil con us into thinking, well, wait till next time. Wait till you get home. You never do it when you get home. You need to get whatever that is you need for your soul. And you need to get it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning. And then we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. And I'm going to quote you a verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Our theme for our year this year is building up. Last Sunday we preached on the thought of the Home Depot slogan. Let's do this. Home Depot portrays in their commercial that you can go to Home Depot and build whatever you want. You can get it all in one 5-gallon bucket. You can build a 30-foot deck. All you need is a 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot that says what? Let's do this. We all agreed last Sunday that we've got projects or areas in our personal lives that need building up. This morning I want to continue that thought a little bit. You say, are we going to talk about building every Sunday? I don't know. I'm following the leadership of the Lord. But this morning we're going to follow that thought just a little bit more about building up ourselves upon our most holy faith. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want you to look with me at verse number 9. The Bible says, for we are laborers together with God. Are y'all looking at it? Yes, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's, say it with me, building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Ephesians chapter number 2, just over, and it's not very far to your right. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. We'll read the rest of the chapter. Say amen when you get there. Amen. I know what time it is, and we'll preach to whatever time it is when we get up. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible said, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and followers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." We ought to shout right there. We could call recess. Thank God we're no more strangers. Thank God we're no more foreigners. Thank God we're no more outcasts. Thank God we're no more just a Gentile. We have been grafted in. Hallelujah. That's talking about saved people. He said, "And are built," in verse number 20, "upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." This morning I've got on the screen a picture of a rendering of a house being built, or a commercial property, whatever it is, and then a blueprint up under that. This morning I want to preach to you just for a few minutes on God's blueprint. Now listen, for me to say that God has a plan for your life, everybody would agree with that, would you? Talk to me. God has a plan for your life. But just to simply leave it there would be a vast understatement. God has a plan for your life. And my wife and I, when we built our house, we bought a book. It was a book of house plans, Brother William. And it showed a blueprint on the bottom part of the page. But on the top part of the page, it showed the finished product. It showed what the house would look like in the end. And that's what we're all interested in. We're all interested in what this thing's going to, what God's total picture. God, what is your will for my life? God, what is it that I'm supposed to be? Am I supposed to preach? Am I supposed to teach? Am I supposed to work the bus ministry? Am I supposed just to be a good mother? Am I supposed to just be a good dad and a good church member? God, what is it I'm supposed to be? We want to see that finished picture. And that's God's plan for our life. But before we get to God's plan for our life, there's a lot that goes into that. If you'll notice the blueprints up under this structure right here, it is very detailed. It is drawn to scale. Every little plan is worked out. Even which way the doorways swing, Brother Freddie, is worked out in that plan. Every little detail. Which way the bathtub sits, whether it's a left-hand tub or a right-hand tub, where it's a left-hand door or a right-hand door. The size of the windows are detailed out. The size of the doors, the size of the room, the height of the ceiling. On most sets of blueprints, you have several sets of plans within one. There'll be an electric, there'll be a framing drawing, Brother Williams, is that right? There'll be a framing drawing, there'll be an electrical drawing, there'll be a plumbing drawing, there'll be a HVAC or heating and air drawing. Even some blueprints will include a landscape drawing. But the very first part of the drawing, I looked at the blueprints of my home just here a couple of days ago. I still have the blueprints from when we built our house. On the front of the blueprints, it shows what the house will look like at the end. You turn to page 1 of the blueprints, and it's not very attractive. It's just the shape of the footprint of my house. And it's called the foundation. It's called the foundation. I have found that in any kind of building program you're going to ever do before you can ever start. Somebody said, "Preacher, could we build a new building right here beside 61 and maybe one day connect the two? Or could we do this? Or could we do that?" Yes, we could, but before we could ever put a shovel in the ground, we would have to have this detailed set of plans. Levi made a statement to me the other day. We were riding down the road, and he said, "Dad," and he may have brought this out in Sunday school, guys, I don't know. But he said, "Dad, I thought about this the other day. You were talking about preaching on the blueprint and God's plan for your life." He said, "You know, when we built our house in 2013, not 13, 2000, and when did the plane crash the Twin Towers? 2001? 2011? One. Everybody quit telling me different numbers. Y'all don't know nothing. I'm getting 1, 11, 13, it was 1. 2001, the planes crashed in the Twin Towers. That's when we built our house, and Levi was still a young teenager at home. He said, Daddy, I thought about this. He said, I was there every day. He said, I was there every day and I watched the progress going on. He said, but I didn't understand it. He said, I didn't understand why this wall had to be tied in like this and where a weight-bearing wall had to be. He said, I didn't understand any of that. He said, I saw you every day with those blueprints laid out between those two sawhorses and that piece of plywood. He said, and I saw you looking over those blueprints, and I saw Brother Freddie and I saw Brother William and different ones as they would come to work. I saw them going over those blueprints. He said, I'll be honest with you, Dad. He said, I looked at them a time or two. He said, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of them. He said, but I sure did enjoy our new house. I said that to say this. We may not understand what God is doing. We may not understand where we are in the building process. But if we'll hang on and we'll trust God, we will enjoy the finished product. God has a destination He's trying to get you. And if we will yield our will unto His, you'll reach that destination. I got a little ahead of myself, but let me say again. The very first part of that blueprint to my home is a drawing of the foundation. My house is built on low ground. I have a very low crawl space. The footing of my house is a part of my house. If you drive by, nobody drives by and says, oh, that's a nice looking footing. Nobody can see that. Nobody can see that footing, but it's there nonetheless. Without that footing, my house would crumble and sink. I live in a swamp. I promise you, my house, all you would see is a roof now if you came by. Amen? But it had to have a foundation. We've got many people trying to build a Christian life on nothing. Sister Terry said she sat here in church for 13 years and she was trying to build a Christian life, but it just kept sinking and it kept sinking and it kept sinking and it kept sinking. Hey, brother, if you've tried, and now listen again, like I told her, I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation, but if you just keep trying and trying and trying and trying and trying, and no matter what, you never make any progress, there's a good indication that you're not on the right foundation. We started in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to pick back up at verse number 11. The Bible said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, say it with me, Jesus Christ. A lot of people believe that there are many paths to God. Only one problem. Wrong foundation. Wrong foundation. Amen. The Mormons work hard and they ride those bicycles. And they follow that Book of Mormon. Only one problem. No foundation. There's no foundation. We cannot build our foundation. It didn't say no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It didn't say Joseph Smith right there. It didn't say Muhammad right there. It did not say Allah right there. It did not say Islam right there. It did not say Buddhism right there. It said Jesus Christ. We must have the right foundation. It didn't say church membership right there. It didn't say water baptism right there. It didn't say good works right there. It said the foundation. He said other foundation can no man lay. We've got a lot of man-laid foundations. I just want to ask you this morning, what are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? A positive attitude? That's what Osteen would have you believe. Just have a positive attitude. Positive attitude. Man, you could have laid in your bed, I believe it was Thursday morning, I called my wife and Brother Tom called. They said it was like 8 degrees. You could have laid your bed. Here, positive attitude. I'm going to think positive this morning. It's 45 degrees. I don't care what the weatherman said. I don't care what the thermometer said. It's 45 degrees. High today of 80. You just think positive all you want, but put on a coat before you leave.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
Grab your long johns and your gloves before you get out the door. Because I don't care how positive you think. Hey, it is what it is. Amen. I don't care how positive you are. Well, I think I'm a good person. You is what you is. You a sinner.
Amen.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I do a lot of good things. Well, hallelujah for you. That's a good thing to do good things, but it doesn't make you on the right foundation. A lot of people across the world think they write a check and that'll take care. You can't buy God. You can't impress one with money who owns it all. Are we all right? We got to get that foundation right. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I called Steve Lunsford, a boy I went to high school with, and he's in the footing business. That's what he does. He digs footers for a living. You know, Brother Steve. I called old Steve. I said, man, I need a footing. He said, man, I'll be over there. He brought his little old tractor, and here he come. And boy, we got the blueprints, Brother Freddie and I believe, and Brother William. We staked that thing out where the house was to go, each corner. We had that thing laid out. And Brother Steve come out there with his tractor and his transit and all that stuff. Man, that's a detailed deal. That part's got to be right. Because if that part ain't right, that's what the rest of the thing is built on. Hey, listen, that foundation this morning has got to be right because that's what the rest of your life is built on. You missed the mark on the foundation. You missed the mark on it all. During that thing, Brother Steve, we went to school together. We known one another a good portion of our life. I was calling out the blueprints to him as he was pulling strings and getting ready to dig. Well, I made a bad mistake. My front of my house stopped here, and it had two different measurements for the front. One of them was for the front of the house where the foundation goes. The other one was for the front of the porch, which was 6 feet further. When I called out that measurement for the front of the house, I read the wrong measurement, and I gave him the measurement for the front of the porch. So he dug the foundation way out there. Well, we caught it. We caught it. Thank the Lord we caught it. And he had to back up and dig that thing back 6 feet. Yeah. Well, here's what I'm trying to say. That left my front porch, the pillars on my front porch holding it up, left it on field dirt where we had to fill that back in. Well, over the years, my front porch looked like that. You could sit down at the front door and slide off the step. In a 6 foot span, my porch sunk 4 inches. That's a lot. You know why? Because it wasn't based on anything. I love, I'll be honest with you. My flesh, I love this new age or whatever you want to call it kind of religion. This non-denominational, come as you are, do as you want, act like you want, just think good of yourself and you'll be all right. Man, that's pretty cool. Yeah. There's only one problem. It's not built on anything. And when the weight of this world sets down on it and the pressure comes, there's nothing to sustain it, so it just sinks.
Amen.
You know what I had to do? I had to dig down up under the pillars of my porch. I had to go to the auto parts store and buy a big old bottle jack, and I had to jack my house up. Some of our life needs jacked up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I had to shore that thing up. I had to jack that thing up. And I cut 3.5-inch blocks and put between the post and the porch and I poured concrete up under there.
Yeah.
It had to have something to rest on.
Amen.
Listen, the storms are going to come. The trials and the troubles are going to come. But we got to make sure. Hey, whether you're saved, the Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. But we've got to make dead level sure, like Sister Terry did. I wouldn't care if I'd been a church member for 30 years. If I realized I was lost, I'd get it settled.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Make sure, number one, I want a big high ceiling, and I want a big cut up roof. And it doesn't matter what you got if it ain't on the right foundation.
Yes,
amen. I'm not building my hope on nothing less than the Baptist doctrine and righteousness. I'm not one of them idiots that believe Baptists are going to be the only people in heaven.
Yeah,
right. Let me say that again good and loud. I'm not one of those idiots that believe Baptists are going to be the only people in heaven. Let me tell you, the only people going to be in heaven, saved people.
Yeah.
Amen. I had a guy smart enough to look me in the face and tell me, Baptists are the only ones going because we're the only ones got it right. When you get to heaven, you're going to hear the words of Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Are you in for a shock?
Yeah.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, you think you shouldn't be a Baptist? No, I'm Baptist. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred. I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Yeah. Somebody said, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? Embarrassed. Yeah. Amen. I'm a Baptist because I believe the doctrine lines up with the Bible. But I don't believe you got to have every T and every I dotted in just the right place to know Christ as your Savior. I'm begging you this morning, make sure you're on the right foundation. Amen. That's the first part of that plan. Steve dug that footing. Then he drove rebar down in there for reinforcement. And then we had to call in the next day for an inspection. For an inspection. That inspector pulled up. I said, you got to have that inspected? He said, oh, yeah. He said, if that ain't right, well, nothing be right. The inspector got out and he walked around. He looked at the blueprint. He looked at the footing. And he okayed it to build our house. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. Be the inspector.
Yeah. Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit to be your inspector.
Yes, sir.
Are you born again? If you died today. Hey, we've had 9 funerals in 5 weeks. Somewhere in that neighborhood. That's a lot. That's a lot. If I got to bury you tomorrow, are you on the foundation? Are you on the right foundation? They always make jokes about the tornadoes coming through Alabama and cleaning out the trailer parks. Y'all know that's always the butt of a joke. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing wrong with living in a trailer. There's only one danger of living in that thing. It ain't got no foundation. It's just propped up on some blocks. That's why they get blown away. Amen. That's why so many people's lives get blown away. They're just propped up on some religion. They're propped up on a preacher somewhere. They're propped up on a feeling somewhere. They're propped up on a movement. Hey, we better get propped up on the Lord Jesus Christ or we'll all blow away. Make sure we got the right foundation. But then, the details start. The details start. My wife and I begin looking at that plan book. I just keep looking at this to comfort you. My wife and I begin looking at that plan book. And you know what? No, that thing was that thick, Brother Freddie. We paid about $20 for it. That thing, Brother William, I ain't no telling how many. Probably 300 or 400 different sets of house plans in that book. Oh, and there's a catch. You can't build from them plans. You've got to order and pay. Amen. Cost. We go through there, there would be 2 houses. You think, well, this is the house we saw over here on such and such page. And we'd turn back and compare and say, oh, no, this is different. They might look close, but there was a slight difference, Brother Ed. Here's what I'm trying to say. We've all got the same foundation, but the floor plan may be different. The floor plan may be different. Some may be similar, but there's a difference in there somewhere. God had a different design. Some are elaborate, some are simple.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Some are very costly, some are very economical. Would you agree?
Amen.
Now listen, when it comes to our life, we are not pressed out of a cookie cutter mold.
That's right.
You're not supposed to be just like me.
Right.
And I'm not supposed to be just like you. Amen. Back when I was growing up, everybody emulated, and it's okay to emulate your heroes. It's okay to emulate somebody else's character till you get some of your own.
Amen.
Amen. But God didn't make me to be just like Brother Sammy.
Yeah.
He didn't make me to be just like Brother Mays. He didn't make me to be like Brother Edgar. He didn't make me. I know all these preachers and I can mock them in love. God, He didn't make me to be a Jack Hyde.
Amen.
Amen. I remember back going visiting that college. I ain't never seen so many choking boys in my life.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? They thought to be godly, you had to choke all the time.
Yeah.
Bunch of stinking robots is what they were.
Yeah.
No, man, God made you to be you.
Yeah.
God made me to be me. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. He has a floor plan, a detail, how that thing's going to lay out. And God has a detail how your life is going to lay out.
Yeah.
Now listen. Would you agree with me that if you miss one detail, it makes a difference in the end result?
Amen.
We missed one detail in building my house, Brother William. We didn't really miss it. We caught it. But I made a decision because of a rush. My rafters, the 2x6s for my back porch rafters, what was they, 2 foot short? Something like that. Brother Tony Williams' brother said, these rafters are 2 foot short. He said, now we can send them back and get the right length, or we can just pull them on down this roof 2 foot. Stretch them, in other words. I got news for you. You cannot stretch a 2x6. And Tony said, that'll pull that rafter. That'll make that porch roof to, instead of having this much pitch to having this much pitch, it's going to flatten that roof, but it should drain off. Because of that one decision, a 2 foot decision, Brother William, we've had leaks in our house since the day we built it. Because it's not steep enough for the water to run off. It holds it. Do you know how much it's going to cost to go back and do that right? Here's the thing, and I may not preach all this morning. Here's where we get to. Here's where we get to. We sit in church and we listen to the preaching and go, yeah, but that ain't really no big deal. That's just a little thing. What's the difference, man?
You're right.
What's it make a difference what kind of music I listen to?
Amen. Come on.
It does.
What's it make a difference who I hang out with? That ain't no big deal. That's just a little thing.
Yeah.
And you don't understand the impact of that little thing.
Amen.
Till you have to live in what you've built.
That's right.
Everybody and their brother tried to stop the leaks on my house. Brother Ricky Wilkins till he died. Brother Paul, I don't know if he's here this morning. Patch. Brother D worked. And Brother D finally come over there one day and said, the problem is this roof too flat? You want to really fix it? Let's tear this roof off and put it. How much that going to cost? He said, you can't afford it, but that's what needs to be done. You know how much easier it would have been? It would have delayed the progress a little. A day. Leeds material, they're out of business now. They would have come out there, they'd have sent Brother Charles out there to pick up them 2x6s that was too short and brought me the ones that were the right length.
Yeah.
But because of my impatience, it'll work. That redneck philosophy don't work in our lives. When building something as important as our life, listen, man, I didn't just have to live in that home. My wife had to live in that home. Not just my wife, but my 3 children had to live in that home. And my grandbabies have to stay in that home. They don't live with us. They have to be in that home. Listen, you know what a leaky roof causes? It causes mold. Mold causes sickness. A split decision caused all that. It's like a domino effect. Blam, 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 blam. A leaky roof, you don't just fix shingles. It's rotten plywood. It's sheetrock. Man, I come in one day, and Brother Craig wired my house, and he must have run some plumbing to it. I come in one day, and it was raining. We got a set of switches as you go out our back door onto the porch, and it operates the ceiling fans and the lights. There's 4 switches right there anyway. And I looked, and I thought, what in the world? It was water going, psst. Out the light switch. I thought, water, electricity, not good. And my dumb self started to reach out there and flip. And something said, nah, just don't do that. I went out there and killed the breaker, man.
Yes,
you ain't supposed to. Look, man, water comes out the faucet, not out the switch. If water's coming out your switch, something wrong.
Yes, ma'am.
What was wrong? One decision. Seriously, I want to talk about those details, those plans for your life. Every little thing is important.
Amen.
Preacher, why am I going through this? I don't know. But it might be part of the plan. There was some of that plan I didn't enjoy doing. Like insulation. That ain't no fun. That's like rolling in an ant bed.
Yeah.
Pushing the shovel. mixing mortar for Brother Fred. I just tell you, for a few days, I was his boy. He didn't say, "Excuse me, Pastor, would you get me 5 gallons of mud?" No, he didn't treat me nothing like he does here at church. I'm over there in that wheelbarrow, and I'm trying to mix this mud, and it's July, man. I'm talking about sweat run. Mud! Mud! Hey, there's parts of it wasn't fun. He could lay the block faster than I could mix the mud. Every part of the plan's not enjoyable, but every part of the plan is important. It's important you be in church. It's important you be faithful. Hey, we do this. Y'all don't know this, newsflash. We do this again on Sunday night. 6 o'clock. Here's one that'll blow your mind. We do it again on Wednesday at 7. We have Bible classes on Monday. Monday night, yeah. How about that? Man, every opportunity you have to build and grow and get the details. And you know what? After that floor plan was done, Brother William, we worked. And we worked, man. I toted lumber, Brother William. Y'all wouldn't believe it, this little runt right here. Me and him probably wear one another's clothes. He tote 4 sheets of plywood up on the roof at one time, up a ladder. Oh, yeah. That's back when he worked for a living. He said, "What's he do now?" He counts money. Make sure his stacks are even. And he's praying about tithing one of these days. Amen. I love you, brother. I'm messing with you. Now watch this. They put everything they had into it. I put everything I had into it. Well, then we had to have another inspection. We had to call the inspection office and say, "We're ready for a framing." We couldn't go forward till that inspection was done. We couldn't get our electrical. That was next. We couldn't get our plumbing, that was next, then electrical, and then heating and air. We couldn't go any further in the process till that was approved. Well, an old buddy of mine showed up to inspect my house. I ain't gonna say his name. He walked in my house, he said, "My goodness, Eddie, you gotta tear that out, you gotta tear that out." I mean, boy, you remember that? He picked out a bunch of stuff. He found stuff that wasn't stuff. Just because he wanted to turn down my house to show me he could. And he did. What I'm trying to say is before that house went any further, we had to do everything he asked us to do. Even though Brother William stood there with his hammer in his hand and said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I'm a framerist is what I do for a living. He don't know what he's talking about." It didn't matter what he thought. It didn't matter even how right he was. The inspector said no. Are we still okay this morning? Before you can go further, you have to do what I say do. Why? Because he's the authority. He is the authority. I had an inspector turn down a slab on me in Atlanta, Georgia Baptist Hospital, which has changed to something else now, but it was Georgia Baptist then. I did a whole wing, the plumbing on the whole wing of that thing. I argued with an inspector one morning for about an hour. I said, "You're wrong and I'm right. And I'm not digging that up." It was cast iron pipe. It wasn't PVC, but it was cast iron. Poured lead joints. I'm talking about hard work. I said, "I'm not digging it up." He said, "There won't be no slab poured here, do you do?" I went to my truck and I got the Georgia State Plumbing Code book. And I slammed it down on the hood of my truck. I said, "Show me." He said, "No problem." Page one. Power of authority. I said, "Oh, that wasn't on the test." Sometimes we may look at what God's doing in our life and say, "That's goofy. It doesn't make any sense," but it's part of the plan. Joshua could have looked at God and said, "March around the city for 7 days. With no guns, no bows, no arrows, no spears, no nothing. The Ark of the Covenant and the preachers out front. The preachers ain't going to fight. And you want them to take the lead?" "Yeah, that's what I want." On the seventh day, you want us to march around the greatest city in the land? You want us to do it seven times, and when we get done, shout? Really? Yeah, really. Joshua goes back to the children of Israel. All right, Joshua, what did he say? Joshua, what are we gonna sneak in at night? Is it gonna be a sneak attack? Joshua, how are we going at this? Joshua says, well, here's what he said. We're gonna march around the city for 7 days. All right. When are we gonna storm the gates? Well, on the seventh day, we're gonna do it seven times. All right, then we're gonna storm the gates, and we're just gonna holler. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. It ain't come from me. He said it. I'll be honest with you. I done been doing this long enough. Whatever he says, he usually works out the best way. There's the foundation. I hope you got your foundation right. There's a floor plan. For 31 years, God's been working on the floor plan in our lives. I mean, piece by piece. Oh, there's been times it didn't pass inspection. We've had to tear it out and do over. Sometimes we've went backwards before we could go forward. We had to go back to where we messed it up and tear it out and get it right and get forgiveness and go on. God's still working on that plan. One of these days there'll be a finished product. Well, I'll never forget the day we stood out in front of that house. Well, that's the prettiest thing I'd ever seen, outside my wife and my babies. Boy, when I thought about all the labor and all the sweat and the calluses, I stood there and looked at that home that I was able to provide for my family. The men of this church helped and worked. I was able to take my little wife by the hand, walk her into that big old master bedroom suite and say, "Welcome home." I was able to give my children a bedroom, a bathroom, a place to raise them. There's a lot went into that thing. And it took patience. And it took work. But before we could move in, there had to be another inspection. Another inspection. I'll never forget it. The same inspector didn't catch it before the sheetrock went up on the electrical inspection. You remember that, Brother Craig? He waited till after the sheetrock was hung, the walls were painted, the house was done. My wife insisted on having an electrical outlet over the mantle. You saw, I've never seen an electrical outlet over the mantle. The reason for that? It's illegal. So, it was for her Christmas lights. We're ready to move in. But we got an electrical outlet over the mantle. We got to get that fixed before we can even dwell in that thing. Before we can enjoy that finished product, there's still something's got to be worked on. Oh, it's done. It's beautiful. So what we did, I ain't going to tell you what we did. We did what it took to pass inspection.
Amen.
Doesn't really fit the message right there. Too honest for my own good. We took care of the problem. You see, I'm just not enjoying my Christian life. Maybe you ought to ask the inspector to come show you what's wrong.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know everything God wants me to be, but I want to reach it. I want to be it. How about you? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm leaving a bunch of this out. I was going to talk about the future plan. The Bible said we have a house not built with hands. There's a future home. We'll be moving out of this one that we've been working on all these years into one that's really perfect. Boy, I want to be prepared for that day. Listen, if we could, let's just bow our heads together this morning. God's blueprint. God has a detailed plan for your life. And although every one of those plans are different, they all start the same way.
They've all got to start on the very same foundation. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if there might be one here this morning to say, "Preacher, I'm not on the right foundation. I've been building my life on everything but the right thing. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. I wouldn't embarrass you. We don't drag people to the altar. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really get that settled in your heart, I'd like to know. Preacher, would you pray for me?" You just slip up your hand, put it right back down. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. Oh, that foundation, that's the key. That's the most part. Not where your church membership is. Not how many times you've been baptized, but whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. "Preacher, I'm not sure. Please remember me." While Brother Todd plays and they get ready to sing, could you just slip up your hand? Anybody, right quick. How about this? "Preacher, I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my mind. No doubt about my foundation. I know if I died today, heaven would be my home. I'm not worrying about that, but what I'm worried about is how I'm building on that foundation. I may need to go back and tear out some stuff and put it back right. I may need to go back to someone and say, 'I'm sorry. Let's get this thing right between us.' Maybe I need to go back to this thing nobody can see that's down inside my heart and get that thing confessed before God. Preacher, help me pray I get on the right track in this building process." How about it? Hands all over this building. Thank you for being obedient. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you again in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, thank you for your sweet spirit here today. Thank you for all these that have already been in the altar this morning. Lord, thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for being a patient builder. Lord God, working toward perfection in our lives. Lord, we know we'll never be really perfect till we see you. But Lord, we're looking forward to that day. But Lord, until then, Lord, help us to do everything in our power to get it right between now and then. Lord, you've seen every hand. You know every heart. You know those that are struggling. You know those that are having a hard time, who are discouraged and about ready to quit altogether. Father, I pray you'd help them this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.